Hello everybody and welcome back to the New Books in Sociology. I'm Felipe Santos, one of the hosts of the channel, and today we'll be talking with the Professor Donatella de la Porta about her new book, Legacies and Memories in Social Movements, Justice and Democracy in Southern Europe, published by Oxford University Press. She has led a team of other four scholars in what I imagine has been an amazing collaborative enterprise. The rest of authors are Massimiliano Andretta, Tiago Fernandez, Eduardo Romanos, and Marcos Boyatsoglu. Donatella, welcome. We are very happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be with you and to talk about this book.
So, to start with the interview, I would like to ask you to provide us a bit of an introduction about yourself. So, where are you now? What has been your kind of academic path and so on?
At the moment, I am in Florence, at the Scuola Normale Superiore, which is a public institution which is devoted to PhD work. And for a long time I've been at the European University Institute, also working especially teaching at PhD. And so I was very happy when I was offered this possibility to continue working in a graduate school. And it is a very nice graduate school with people from all over the world. We give grants for 4 years. And if one of the focus is social movements, which has been one of the issues on which I've been working most. And it is a very international environment. So it is Italian grants, but we can use them for young scholars from everywhere in the world. And so it's also this international environment is important because as with this book, what I like a lot to do and I've done in my work has been comparative type of analysis, which I think are much more stimulating when you can have also people, scholars who participate from the different parts of the world that you want to address. So I've been quite lucky, I have to say. I come from Sicily, I moved to Paris for my master a long time ago, but I liked a lot, and I think all along my life I thought in order to keep a high degree of enthusiasm, you need to move now and then. So I've been in Paris, I've been at the European University Institute, I worked in Bologna, in Florence, in Berlin, I've been in the United States. I've been quite lucky, and I've been lucky in working with a lot of junior and senior colleague who have been developing projects with me on different issues, and now to have these occasions to work at the Scuola Normale. In our department is COSMOS, the Center on Social Movement Studies, and we have every year about 30 PhD students working on social movements, about 20 postdocs. And we have academic staff of about 20 colleagues, so it is really a very nice environment.
And I was wondering, how do you came to the idea to write this book? Because as you say in the book, I mean, transitions have been a very important topic for political scientists, but it was not addressed from the social movement perspective. So how do you came to this idea?
I came to the idea before writing this book, because this book is just one of the products of the ERC, European Research Council, Advanced Scholars Grant that I got several years ago. I think it was 2011. And when I wrote my project, which was a big project for 5 years, I wanted to go a bit beyond what I had done. Social movement studies have been focusing a lot on advanced democracies. So a main idea was you need opening of opportunities to have protest. And so there has been very little focus instead on social movements developing in non-democratic countries and trying to produce democracy, not only in terms of transitions to democracy, but also consolidation, deepening of democracies, and so on. I think that's what surely affected me was the fact that in my traveling, I was in Berlin between 1988 and 1993. So this means I was there in 1989 when there was the big wave of democratization in Eastern Europe. And so I saw the excitement of the people participating. I saw also some frustration later on, but it was certainly a big historical moment which left me the curiosity to study how does it happen that in countries with very high degree of repression, people can have the courage to dream of a different futures and to act. How does it happen that repressions instead then discouraging them at some moment in time tend instead to trigger mass demonstrations? So I wrote this project before 2011, but then when I was starting, there was the Arab Spring, and this was yet another example of how important it was to study unexpected development in contentious politics, so these sudden moments in which times intensify. And so some of my work had been focusing on how movements contribute to democracy, and some of the work has been also focusing on which are the effects of mobilizations of citizens for the qualities of democracy later on, but also for the characteristics of social movements later on. And so I worked with different areas. I've read a lot about Latin America, but I didn't work directly on Latin America. I did empirical research instead in Central Eastern Europe, in the Arab world, and Southern Europe. Southern Europe, as I mentioned, was relevant for me because coming from Sicily and Italy, I felt the comparative perspective with Southern Europe very important, even though what I thought was misleading was the so-called Mediterranean syndrome. So the considerations of Southern Europe as an area in which social capital was not rich, politics was working in a pathological ways, and so on. I studied also the pathologies. One of my field of research is corruption. But I also wanted to investigate the richness of potentials in the south of Europe. And this became all the more important after 2011 with the development of movements that had the core in southern European countries, in particular in Greece and in Spain, but also in Portugal and in Italy. And reflecting on the consequences of participations of movements in transitions to democracy, I wrote another book which focused on Central Eastern Europe and the Arab Spring, trying, it's called Where Did the Revolution Go? And the attention was about long-term effect of path of participation of civil society in transitions on the quality of democracy. While writing that book, I also started to reflect on the importance that memories of critical junctures, of important moments, of how they are reactivated. So I was working at the same time on transitions to democracies and on the anti-austerity protest. And I started to notice that the two topics were not separate ones, but that they were connected. They were connected in the sense that the ways in which democratizations had happened and the consequences still many decades after. And so I started to think, how do these legacies of the past are reproduced? And in Where Did the Revolution Go? I looked in particular at processes of constitutionalizations of rights and the development also of specific political cultures. So I thought that what was also useful was to write a book that would focus in particular on the legacies and memories in the social movements. So the book is an attempt to bridge what happened in these countries in the period of transition to democracies, which means around 1945 for Italy and in the mid-70s for the other three countries, and to link it with what happened in 2011-2012 with the transition to democracy.
And then when you analyze these transitions in the four countries, you have two kind of ideal categories, which is the eventful transition and the participated pact, being Portugal kind of the perfect example of the eventful transition, and Spain the one of participating pact, while Greece and Italy are somehow in the middle. So I was wondering if you could explain a bit what these two concepts mean.
Yes. In research on transition to democracy, mainly in political science, there has been a lot of attention to pacted transitions, so transición pactada, because the Spanish transition in particular was considered as a successful process in which old conflicts were overcome and through pacts one could modernize the countries and democratize it. On the other hand, other type of transitions were called transition by rupture, so transitions by a breaking the old rules. But in both cases, what frustrated me was that social movements, civil society, and so on were not considered as main actors. In literature on transitions to democracies, it was especially a focus on the elite. So the elite who pacts or the elite who splits. Civil societies was at the best considered as a push for the elite to be transformed. So I recognized in my own work that there were differences in the ways in which the development of transition went, but that in both cases social movements, at least in the cases I studied, were important. They were important sometimes in the counterintuitive way. So in this book, you are right, so the Portuguese case is a main case of eventful democratization, and the Spanish case is a main example of pacts. In the other piece of research I did in Eastern Europe, for instance, Poland was a typical example of pacted transition, and Czechoslovakia was more by rupture. But in both cases, what I noticed was social movements were important. So in Spain, there had been a development of class conflicts all along the 60s with Comisiones Obreras and a re-emerging conflict in the factories. And there was a conflict on the territorial dimensions, especially in the Basque countries. There had been ETA was born, but also a revival of ethno-nationalist movements. In Poland also, Poland in 1980-81 has been a case in which there was a huge movement, Solidarność. But these movements were still important when transitions happened, but they were important more as a sort of external threat. They were not in the streets. Solidarność, who had been more institutionalized, discouraged young workers to mobilize from mobilization, and the same did in Spain also parties that had been in the opposition before. So I call them participated pact because I think civil society was also there and was important in threatening the potential for mobilizations, but was not mobilized. On the other hand, instead, the cases like Portugal, and to a different extent Czechoslovakia at that time, were cases in which it was demobilizations of the masses that produce the breakdown of the regimes. And the Portuguese case is particularly interesting because it is one of a few cases of a transition to democracy, which is also looked at as a revolution. Because especially in the very first period after the so-called Carnation Revolution, the Portuguese democracy was established while the people were still mobilized in the street. And so I call these eventful transitions because what I wanted to point at was not just the rupture in the elites, but also the importance of critical junctures which has been produced and took place while the streets were full of people with ideas and so on. These are two Weberian ideal types because, of course, there was also in all the cases I mentioned, mobilizations in some cases, also in Spain and in Poland, and there was also pacts by among the elite in the other two cases. But I thought the dynamics was quite different. And there was also something else that I wanted to stress. While traditionally pacted transition had been considered as the most physiologic one, the most successful one, what I noticed was that instead it was where the masses had been mobilizing in the streets that they were able to produce these legacies in terms of the presence of the constitutions which recognizes the importance of the mobilizations of civil societies, constitutions which are also more open towards state interventions against the social inequalities. And so this was the main reasons why I thought it was important to introduce new new concepts. Sometimes colleagues in political science tell me, but would have not been easier to use just the concepts which were there, transition pactada and so on. But I think they focused the idea on the elite, and this was something that I thought was misleading if we want to see the complexity of a transition process.
Yeah, and that's also what I think that this book is very interesting, because it kind of like goes against, as you said, the common sense established that these pacted transitions are kind of the ideal type of transitions. And as you said, probably it's because the emphasis on elites. It also like shows that these pacted transitions allow for the like greater integration of the kind of status quo elite into the new part, but it forgets about kind of this approach to the rest of society, social movements, and so on. But I was wondering, so you were explaining us now, like, why the Carnation Revolution and the transition in Spain were these two ideal types. I was wondering if you could explain also a bit how are the Italian case and the Greek one in the middle, and to which sides they're closest.
Yes, we consider that Italy was more close to an eventful type of transition, because there was also the mobilizations, especially during the resistance period, against the Nazi occupations of Italy. But what was, and in fact, the resistance remained as a sort of myth for many generations of activists later on. But it was a memory, a narration of a betrayed myth. So it was a betrayed resistance. And in fact, the Italian case was very particular, because it was in the midst of the Second World War. At the end of the Second World War, Italy was occupied by the Allies army. And so this changed a lot, so the type of path. The constitutions was a compromise between the left and the center, and what was very present for the whole post-war war period was what we called in some other work a sort of Cold War, which also was reflected at the domestic level with the fight against the Communist Party and the labor movements, which produced also about 100 people who died during the period of consolidation, during demonstrations, killed by the police, and so on. And the Greek case is also special case. There was the mobilization also there of important mobilizations of the so-called polytechnic generation. So the student movement and the student protests were important, but the characteristic of the regime was also different, the type of memory of that period was only superficially a memory of people activated in the streets, and we try to say in the book, because it is what we notice with empirical work, that all memories were somehow contested, difficult at times, main two different types in Portugal, the memory of the Carnation Revolution still was a very positive memory. Spain, the lack of rupture made the transition period as one of the targets also the 1978 Moncloa Pact is one of the example of the negative type of path, while in Italy and in Greece there was this, let's say, on the one hand, aspiration towards positive memories of those who mobilized then, but also the perceptions that this struggle was somehow, if not useless, at least absorbed later on. So the Polytechnic generation is, to a certain extent, considered as a successful generation in Greece, but it is also the generation of those who then entered in the system, giving up their ideals and values, and produced a corruption of democracy. And in Italy also, the Communist Party asked people to give back arms and so on, this was considered as a gesture that produced the victory of the center-right, the Christian Democratic Parties and so on later on. So more a betrayed.
And then when you explain, and you mentioned a bit already on this concept, so you see in the book that social movements and the current political system are impacted by transitions in three ways, in which you call like the institutional legacies, the movement legacies, and the movement memories. So I was wondering if you could also kind of explain a bit all these three concepts, so our listeners can follow our conversation easier.
Yes. This was a sort of conceptualizations which emerged in part inductively through the empirical analysis, and it is reflected in the structure of the book. So we devote a chapter to the events of the transition, to understand what is this a case of for all the four cases. And then the first chapter looks at what do the movement leave in terms of external conditions. So this was what I'd been studying also in the other cases, in the other two areas I mentioned, which were the effect in terms of constitutions and which were the effects in terms of law, how did the path of transitions produce effect in the political system, creating, how can I say, structural type of legacies. For the movements, we looked at two aspects in two different chapters. One is how these moments of transitions affected the type of social movements resources, both in terms of material resources, but also symbolic resources. So which type of social movement families developed in the different countries, and how was it related with these path of transitions. And the last chapter focuses instead on the memories, and so we interviewed activists who had been active during the resistance and those who mobilized in 2011 to see how they perceived this type of events. So memory is an interesting concept. It has been used a lot in cultural studies, but very little in social movement studies. And I've written since this book another book which also deals with memories, edited collection on 68. And so the main attempt was to see how for movements which are characterized by moments of visibility and moments of non-visibility, of latency, how memories are mobilized in specific moments in order to either present or reconstruct a sort of route in the past, but also presents the new movements as something alternative, something which goes beyond. So memory, this is the assumption, is a tricky thing for social movements, because social movements always tend to present themselves. A colleague, Bertha Taylor, said they have this Virgin Mary syndrome. So they always want to say, we are totally new, and we are born out of this spirit of innovation. But at the same time, movement also need legitimacy coming from the past. And especially they also mobilize activists that sometimes have a direct memories of the past. So in other work which I've done focus groups with the people mobilizing in the global justice movement from different generations. There was the generations in Italy who had done the resistance, so were 70 years and older, and intermediate generations, the 68 generations, up to the millennials. And what I notice in this focus group is that the memory of the past, in the sense of the moment in which people were socialized to politics, still has an impact. This doesn't mean that the memory is always easy. So we studied for this other project, Lorenzo Zamponi also wrote his PhD on the student movement. And in Italy in particular, the memory of 68 was for a long time a difficult memory, because it was of a movement which was at the same time so global, all-encompassing, and so on, that people tended to think we are not global, we don't want to be compared with this big meat. But on the other hand, it was also the movement which had been considered as too radical, too ideological. And so what I mean is memories are complex and contested and full of voices, but also silence, also inside the movements themselves. What is interesting, and this is the main idea behind the research, is how especially critical junctures, so moments of disruption of the established political system, but also established social movements, tend to reactivate the memories of the past. So the book I edited on 68 is called in Italian 68, il passato e il futuro of rebel years. So the past and the future, in the sense that the past is reactivated when you need to think about the future. It means you are looking for models, ideas, myths, symbols, and we found there that our expectations that there was an impact of the ways in which the transitions had worked was empirically proved true, because all the Portuguese development in 2011 is full of symbols of the carnation revolutions, the songs, the slogans, the fact that the activists could enter the parliament, while in Spain they were charged by the police if they went near to the parliament. Is a very typical illustrations of these differences. So So I have to say, then also what we tried to do was not to consider that a sort of deterministic and never changing use of memories. To the opposite, memories are returned to, revisited, and so on in a dynamic way, and the memories changed in times of transition, and it is important also that the memories of the transitions are read through the prism of other movements. So 68 was important and re-emerged. And in this book I edited on 68, it was interesting. There are interviews with activists in the UK, activists of the Corbyn generations and activists of Momentums, the millennials. And what they see, they talk about 68 as an important moment because it was a moment of hope. And they see it now, so they see it as particularly important in a moment in which new hopes are opening up.
Yeah, and also especially with the 68 now, so it's a very big topic in France with all these strikes and so on. So I mean, memories are there, even in countries where transitions like were like either much more in the past or like not as like present in the current times. But now I wanted to focus a bit on the exact mechanisms in which you explain how transitions affect these three different concepts that you speak about. So could you please explain a bit so how transitions like how are institutional legacies affected by transitions? So in which ways we see these changes depending on the kind of transition that's happened in the past?
Yeah. For the institutional legacies, I talked of legalization and legitimation, a sort of mechanism, because I think it is important the ways in which constitutions are made. Another examples could be found also in the Arab Spring, the relative success of Tunisian in comparison with Egypt is also related with an early investment in the constitutional process and the attempt to make it inclusive. While the opposite is true for Egypt. So laws are always changing, but constitutions are quite important, both instrumentally and symbolically. And in fact, nowadays there is a reflection in a new field like sociology of constitutions is called, which starts also from the observations that in moment of crisis, constitutional processes become again important. Take the Spanish case and the ways in which in Catalonia a constitutional process has triggered a lot of conflicts, protests, and so on. So this is a general process. Constitutions are important, and they play a role also later on. And also what scholars in sociology of constitution says is constitutional moment, a moment in which the legitimacy coming from the citizens is more important. So this type of direct productions of laws with particular attention to the most important of them is important. And here it is particularly important the laws which more directly affect social movements. So laws which define legal rights for social movements, for people participation. So let's say if we think in terms of citizenship rights, the political rights, but also the civic rights. And there are laws that respond to the claims of the movement. So an observation which has been made also by other scholars of transitions is that the broader the coalition that pushes for transition, the more, for instance, you have social rights recognized. And the Portuguese case is, again, quite relevant. So legalization, I mean, this type of, legal transformations, but I think that there is also a cultural aspect, which I try to capture through this idea of legitimation. So there is also an idea in pacted transitions, social movements, mobilizations of the societies tend to be considered by political parties, by media, as negative. On the other hand, instead, when you develop democratic system from processes of eventful transitions and eventful democratization, you have recognitions, even at the cultural level, that mobilizations of the society is positive. And these are important mechanisms as far as this type of structuring is concerned. For the memories of movements, we also tried to single out during the research how does it happen that millennials form ideas about what is 68, for instance, or what is the transition. And there it is interesting because what you usually find about these historical moments is the development of an institutional type of memory, which is more transmitted top-down. But you have also a non-institutional type of memories, for instance, about 68, which developed through different type of mechanisms. One of these is brokerage, also intergenerational type of brokerage. There have been books made also on the ways in which activists of the women's movement or activists of the student movement in the 60s transmitted their memories to their children, now probably grandchildren. So there is at the individual level this effect of micro-level diffusions of ideas, but then there are also more structured type of memories. So we looked also at archives of social movements or moment like moment of anniversary. So for this book on 68, I've looked at the anniversaries in 78, 88, 98, 2008 and 2018. And what I saw is that something is consolidated in the process, but something also there are innovations. So my impression is 2018 is more important than 68 10 years ago because it resonates better with what is happening now, with the hopes and the struggles and the conflicts.
Mm-hmm. And then also another very interesting argument you make is about how transitions affect actually like movements themselves, so the movement legacies and matters of like radicalization and so on. So could you please elaborate a bit on that?
Yes, social movements have been often analyzed through case studies, the environmental movements in the women's movements in that decades and so on. But what we noticed already in the past, an article we wrote a long time ago with Dieter Rucht, is that there are social movement families which are formed. So we took family as a term from literature on party politics. There you have socialist families of parties, communist families of parties, and so on. Also in social movements, you have different focuses of different movements, different type of strategies in different types, but you have also the long-lasting formation of what Charles Tilly called repertoires of actions, repertoires of contention. So movements, fortunately, even when they decline, never disappear but survive in the doldrum, during latent phases. And they are reactivated then in moments of strong mobilization, sometimes also shifting the focus. So take, for instance, anti-war movements and peace movements. They develop, mobilize in some specific moment, but they build upon movements tradition in certain countries. And this movement traditions is made of some organizations that survive from one cycle to the next, but also from the type of resources. So each wave of protest, especially in critical moment, produces generations of activists. So people, persistent activists is the term which has been used in social movement studies, which reactivate in each new wave and bring also some ideas. The ideas are not just transmitted top-down. They also tend to be reappropriated, transformed. But take, for instance, the type of horizontal forms of organizations of that sort of re-emerged during the anti-austerity protests, indignados, and so on, but were already in part used especially by the horizontals in the global justice movement. So I talked with activists of the global justice movement who said in 2011 we went to Puerta del Sol, saw young activists that we didn't know. They didn't recognize us because we were of a different generations, but they used some of the same slogans, organizational format, the use of hands, signals, and so on. So there is this type of, building up of social movement milieus in which new generations bring new ideas, but old generations keep also fighting.
Yeah, there is also this paper, I think, from Christina Fletcher from Imagine, which she basically explains that, right? That, I mean, it's impossible to understand the capacity for horizontal organization in the Indignados movement if we don't look at what you have termed movement legacies and like all that they have gotten from that.
Yes. Motivations of writing this book is that also we saw that about reflections on memories, on legacies of movements. There has been a lot on some countries, but there was very little on Southern Europe. And so with Eduardo, Thiago, and Marcos, what we wanted to do in this chapter on movement legacies was also to provide of course, a summary, reflections on what is the characteristics of left-wing social movements in Spain, in Greece, in Italy, and in Portugal, which are cases which sometimes are left for the area specialists.
And finally, you speak about, I think that for me, the most interesting part of the book, that is about movement memories, right? So you, like, if I would put it in a bit more literary way, so you make a nuanced argument of this sentence that history is written by the winners, but you say, well, depending on the degree to which you win, or depending to the degree on which you lose, you might also revisit like how history looked like. So can you explain a bit the transition, the mechanism that you see here?
Yes, there has been some literature in social movement studies which I found useful, which focused on the ways in which movements are able to mobilize not only winning moments, reflections on winning moments, but also some moments in which they failed, but which is still considered as a proof of commitment, a proof of heroism. So a moment which was necessary for the development of the struggle. Take, for instance, the miners' strikes in the UK, or also these memories of betrayed transitions in Spain or in Italy or in Greece. Well, these are memories of something which went wrong, but also of moments in which people participated. So they are important not only because they keep the memory of those who have lost a life, but also because they show how some utopian moments could be useful in order to think about the future, not only. So these reflections on the past in order to think about the future is important. And I see it important for the movement we addressed, but I see it important also, for instance, for minority nationalist movements. So take the Scottish case or the Catalan case. These are cases which, in which the past meant a lot of repression. Franco destroyed the Esquerra Republicana de Catalunya. So it was a big defeat, but at the same time it was a moment which is important because you can find legitimating myths and heroes that could still and that are still considered as important nowadays as source of inspirations. Che Guevara was killed in Bolivia, and the guerrilla is no longer ideal for most of the left in Latin America, but still those moments of struggles are represent important memories. What is interesting is that it is not a constant. So research on memories in other disciplines said memories tend to be institutionalized and to consolidate. It is true in part, we found this also within social movements, but what we found was the challenging capacity of some movements of rediscovering some of the memories.
And then I was wondering, because you focus on Southern Europe in your cases, but then you also make some mentions today and even in the book to some cases in, for example, like Central and Eastern Europe. So to which degree do you think that we could say that, you know, the conclusions that you have in the book can travel to other geographic areas as well?
Well, I think that our research design was already such that we aimed for some degree of generalizations, in the sense that we focus on one area, so usually was this considered to be as a most similar research design, but we also had countries that we stressed a different type of path. Not only Italy, where a transition happened much earlier, but also the dynamics in the other countries were different, so that we could take them as examples of different types. We didn't want to just aim at generalizations. We tried to keep the thick historical description as well, because we think that it was important also in the directions of what you said. We also wanted to make visible what had been invisible for a long time. So also recognize the voices which had not been heard for a long time. But at the same time, I think also that it will be interesting to develop these ideas in other areas of the world, in Latin America and so on, even though this would require some adaptation. For instance, we are doing some research on the student movement in Chile. Chile is a classical example of a pacted transitions, but at the same time there was also mobilization against the Pinochet regimes, and it was through a huge mobilization and unexpected mobilizations of the societies during the referendum which had been called by Pinochet that traditions of movements, labor movements, student movements, and so on was reactivated. So what I mean is that I think that, and what we hope to do is to stimulate other research in these areas, not as research that necessarily needs to prove that our observations can travel. Also, I think sometimes when you go in other geographical areas, you need to adapt and discover new things. But I think that a focus on memories also in other areas would be very important. And sometimes these are the difficult memories. Take Central Eastern Europe, where the most traumatic cases are Hungary and Poland, where the memory is very split itself.
And then moving a bit already out of the discussion of the book, I was wondering, what are you working on right now?
I'm working on many things. One is this idea that developed also inductively from the book, that there are moments of routine and moment of changes. So I'm writing about time intensification, because I think that the moment we are living in, moment of crisis, moment of fast transformations, are very specific moments in which the traditional type of explanations used in political and social sciences need to be rethought, because the moment in which conjuncture is much more important, structures do no longer hold. So this is one thing I'm reflecting upon on the basis also of different empirical studies. Then we are looking, and say we because it is always collaborative projects, on directly political effect of movements. So we, with other colleagues, wrote a book on movement parties, looking at in particular at Podemos, Syriza, and the Five Stars movement in Italy, but also at other historical cases, to try to understand when and how does it happen that some social movements, even very skeptical of institutional politics, decide to take electoral path. Another research we did, and I hope to continue, is also within these areas of the type of political consequences, referendums from below. It's a book in which we analyze the Catalan process and the Scottish case and the referendum against privatization of waters and the Icelandic like case of constitutional process to see what happens when social movements mobilize intensively in some moment of referendums. It is something that also in legal studies is developing under this label of constitutional moment, movements as constitutive moments. And so. Another area, you stop me when you...
I see that you're very prolific, yes.
It's about movement knowledge. So what we saw, these social movement studies tend to focus a lot on what people do in the street, activists do in the street. But a lot of the activities of social movement is focusing on developing alternative knowledge on environmental issues, like on labor issues, social inequalities, and so on, and transmitting these memories. This had become, I think, all the most important as the development of counter-hegemonic ideas is not only important vis-à-vis the external enemy, but also within social movements themselves. So how to deal with migrants, for instance, which was a question also Gramsci asked when talking about the importance of counter-hegemonic thinking. And so I think that's reflecting on this element of how movements practically, so in different ways, try to collect, archive, transmit knowledge is another project. Then we are finishing a book on the student movements because we wanted to connect, and this is a general also perspective in cosmos, political economy with social movement studies, looking at the ways in which neoliberalism affected different policy sector and how movements mobilized against this transformation. So the commodifications of university is an important topic. And we are working on starting to work on the labor movements and the ways in which new challenges like technological transformations, robotization, precarizations at the same times are affecting the labor movement, because there is reflections also within labor studies about the revitalizations of the labor movement. And I think that social movements can help understanding this development if they open up, so if they are available also to understand and to build upon what has been done in labor sociology and in political economy on these issues.
I have the impression that you might need a couple of hours more each day than the 24 ones to finish all those projects on time.
So you can interview me another time in 1 year or so.
Oh, yes, of course. I would love to. And then the last question of the interview is, which new books have you been reading so far lately?
This would also require a couple of hours to say, because I tend to... I like a lot to read, and so I tend to read to take my time. Sometimes I disappear from Cosmos and the Institute, and I take a lot of books. At the moment, I'm trying to improve my knowledge in political economy, in particular. So I've been reading scholars that have not interacted so much with social movement studies, like Harvey, like Wolfgang Streck, trying to understand which type of development. Well, it's not only the anniversary of 68, it's also the 200th anniversaries of Marx. And I think that it would be useful to go back also to this type of readings. But also I'm reading on all these topics which I mentioned, so on students' movements, on direct democracies. The last thing I was reading during the weekend was work in constitutional sociology, because I think that movements are more and more having an impact, but at the same time also being, say, constrained or affected by this type of transformations.
Okay, so, well, I think that with all the projects that you have, I've taken, like, far too much of your time. So I just want to thank you for, like, joining us today, and I'm looking forward to interviewing you in the future with one of your next projects.
Thank you, Felipe. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.